Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
His relationship with music began at the age of two when he chewed the keys off his grandmother's piano. And there began a life of petty crime. No, there began a life of music that has included playing at everything from church gigs to rowdy Irish pubs and even biker parties. His name is Phil Davidson. It's a name in Australian music that you are going to hear much more of. He's just released another album through ABC Music called The Edge of It All, and he's with us now. Phil, welcome to Open House.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Glad to hear that you actually like the show too. You've been listening for a while.
I'm a big fan. Big fan.
Well, that means we're a big fan of you. Talk about payback, hey?
That's right.
Well, it's good to have you here, and congratulations on the new album as well.
Thank you.
It's not actually the first album.
No, it's probably, I think it's about my fifth album I've done, but this is the first one that's actually released through an established record company. All the others up to this point have been independent releases. So.
Well, congratulations on getting that final signature
on
there.
It's been a long road.
It's not easy, is it? It's really not easy to get a record contract these days.
No, it's very tough. And I think as time goes on, it's going to get even tougher because there's a lot of independent artists and a lot of independent record companies out there. And with the home computer, you know, studio type things, it's a lot more stuff's being produced. I think a lot of people are vying for the same thing. There's a lot more competition. So,
Originally a Belfast boy?
Absolutely, yeah. My parents brought me out when I was almost 10 years old. They had a chance. My dad was a school teacher and had a chance to start a new life in Australia. And Belfast in those days was a pretty tough city to live in with the war going on. So when the opportunity presented itself, Dad said, let's go. So we packed up everything. We moved to Sydney and that was it.
So you were 10 years old when you moved?
I was 10.
To Australia?
I was 10.
How did you go in the schoolyard?
The schoolyard?
With the accent?
Well, a lot of problems. The first one mainly being called an American because not many people had heard an Irish accent out here in those days. So I was often labelled as an American. And I was a freckle-faced little kid with a funny accent and, you know, had to deal with all that sort of stuff. But I think I assimilated pretty well.
Well, you've certainly, you know, it's been beaten out of you, the accent. I'm the son of English parents, but I was born here and I got the whole pommy thing right throughout my childhood.
Yes, absolutely, as did I.
And you got your first guitar at the age of 16?
16, yep.
How did that feel?
It was the best moment of my life, really was. My brother was a guitar player. I used to grab his guitar and play it every now and again, but I didn't actually get my real official guitar till I was 16, and it was a guitar that was damaged in a shop, and so it was really cheap. So my parents could afford to buy me the guitar, and I got it, and from that moment on, that thing was never out of my hands.
So. You felt like you'd found your calling.
Yeah, I did.
Somebody said it to me, you know, you found the thing that makes your heart sing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, up to that point, it was a tennis racket. I used to pretend, you know, to be a guitar player with a tennis racket at the time when I was a kid, you know, miming to stuff. And when I got my first real guitar, I was like, oh, fantastic. And yeah, it did. It made me sing and it brought all these things out that I didn't realize were in there still.
How do you find doing the whole gig thing? I mean, as a professional musician, that would be 95-98% of what you do most of the time as you are going around from gig to gig, pub to pub, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
You ever get tired of it?
I get tired of it if it doesn't lead to something else. I think as a musician, you have to keep developing and you have to aim higher than a lot of the places that I play are clubs and pubs. So if I just settle for that, I'm deeply dissatisfied. But if I know that this might lead to something else and a better gig and a better, you know, whatever, better chance to get out and sing, then that makes the difference.
And what is a better gig and what's a better chance?
Look, I think the shows where you don't do other people's songs all night, I think most of Australian pub rock stuff is covers. And for me, the great moment is to be able to do your own stuff and be able to connect with people through that. So
you're moving into that situation now. I mean, now you've been on, you know, TV shows like Kerry Ann Kennelly, etc. You know, you've been on ABC radio stations around the place. You've been on Open House now. So, boy, I mean, your profile's just suddenly gone up.
I'm there.
Are you getting to play more of your own stuff now when you do your gigs?
Yeah, I do. And I do almost exclusively my own stuff.
Great.
With the exception of some of the club gigs that just haven't got it yet.
This raises the whole issue of professional musicians in Australia and just how much they have to work to actually earn a living. How many gigs would you have to do per week? I mean, it would change, obviously, over time when you can actually charge more. Mm. But just what is the life of a professional muso these days in terms of the amount of gigs you've got to do or whatever it might be, just to simply earn a living, to earn a crust?
Yeah, look, I think you would would have to do to earn a proper living and support a family, you would have to be working four nights a week, I guess, minimum. But the problem with wages in the music industry is it hasn't gone up in the last 20 years. So, you know, this, I'm getting the same.
20 years.
Yeah, well, I'm getting almost getting the same amount now that I would have 10, 15 years ago, I guess, in the business. So it's getting tough. And I have to work other jobs to be able to survive. And a lot of musicians do. In fact, most musicians in Australia, I think, do two or three jobs.
Even if it's a production job or something
like
that.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Some sort of audio engineering.
I used to be a stop-go sign operator at one point and worked on as a labourer and all that sort of stuff just to pay the bills.
Just because you've got an album out doesn't mean you're rich, does it?
No.
It's like having books out, the same kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You make a few cents per book.
Yeah.
This is Open House right across the nation. Phil Davidson is with us, an emerging name in music that you're going to hear lots more. We're going to hear him play in just a second. You're a man of faith?
Yeah, I've always grown up in the church. My parents are Christians and we've always been regular attenders of church. And I guess when I was about, not long after we came to Australia, the penny dropped for me as to I needed to make a commitment myself, you know, and actually work out what I, you know, what my parents were believing and see whether I actually believed that as well. And so I did that, but it wasn't really until I got to about year 12 at school that I began to really cement that and began to look a bit further into what I believed and understand the gospel a bit better. And look, I have striven for the from that time on to try and be better at what I do, to be better as an example of you know, Christ's love to people. And it's an ongoing journey. It's a long journey and it'll never end, I don't think. But and I try to do that with my writing too. I try to actually present some hope. I play a lot of really dark places to a lot of, you know, struggling people. And I think it's important to be out there. Giving it a little bit of light.
Because this album, Edge of It All, isn't actually a quote-unquote Christian album.
No.
It's an album produced by a Christian. It's written by a Christian. Yeah. Tell me about that hope that I guess you can bring when you're speaking to a whole bunch of people and performing for a whole bunch of people there. You know, what kind of response have you had from various people?
Pretty amazing. I notice people move off centre. I think that's probably the biggest thing that I notice from people. And a lot of the songs on it deal with deep struggle as people. But I try to put in with that the hope that faith brings in that sort of circumstance, and that there is hope beyond the struggle, but also dealing with all the issues that I go through in my life with my family and my kids and, you know, my parents getting older and my grandparents and all that sort of thing. I try to kind of connect with people because they're all themes that people can identify with, you see. And when I touch on them, I see people weep in front of me when I play, and it's